And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks that you are both Lion and Lamb, and that we come this morning knowing the tenderness and the love and the compassion, but yet we know the power, the strength, the ability. And Lord, whatever the battle might be this morning, we give it to you. Lord, we want to say that we stop fighting in our strength. And we invite you to come, Father, to come and lead us, teach us, encourage us. Even, Lord, this morning, would you redeem us? Won't you be glorified, Father, as your word goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. I have spent a lot of time in our garden recently. Now, those of you who have visited will know that I don't have acres to look after or anything. But still, it takes up a wee bit of time trying to keep it looking neat and tidy. And here we are approaching the end of the summer. And it's great to get out and enjoy the outdoors and soak up all these rays of sun that we are experiencing. Apparently there's sun coming this week, who knows. But all week at our kids' club this week, kids have been thinking about farming and planting and growing and sowing and harvesting. And those themes obviously come together. And in our garden, I've been doing a number of jobs. Some time was spent in preparation for a new playhouse. So that meant digging up and moving some plants. Some time was spent painting, decking and fences and making the place look tidy. And some time was invested in planting new shrubs and flowers and adding colour and some general prettiness around the place. Because when you live with four ladies, prettiness is very important. And you can guess the colour of the flowers that had to be planted. John 15 contains the famous words of Jesus about him being the vine and his Father being the gardener. It comes in the middle of three chapters of virtually uninterrupted instruction and encouragement from Jesus to his disciples. It's interspersed only with a few questions from them. But for the duration of what we now record as chapter 15 in John, they simply sit and listen while the Master teaches them. And the idea of Jesus as the vine and us as the branches, grafted and connected into him, is one that resonates with us. Because we all have a desire for connection. We all have a desire to be joined. We all have a desire to be part of something bigger than just ourselves. And I want us to ask how that idea of being connected to the vine might just apply to each of us in our situations today. There are three simple points, and you know what to begin with. I want us to think about being planted for growth. I want us to think about being positioned for growth. And then I want us to think about how we look for proof of that growth. Now, I need to confess at the outset that I'm not really very green-fingered at all. In fact, I have no ability to cultivate anything worthwhile. Weeds are my speciality. But I am at my most content when I look out of the window and I see a lovely scene of manicured grass, clearly defined edges, and nice colourful plants. I love to look at the garden after a long evening spent in it and think, yes, it is finished. But it never is. There's no complete sense in a garden, because as soon as I cut it, it grows. The famous Dr. Harry Gracie planted our back lawn in April 2011. And he did a good job because it continues to grow. Now, I thought at the time that the contract I had negotiated with him included a weekly cut. But it appears that one of us misunderstood that part of the contract because he's never turned up to mow it. But what he planted has grown. And it's no secret. In fact, it's almost too simple to say it. But if you want something to grow, what have you got to do? You've got to plant it. You need to plant it. The seeds in the packet, these seeds in this little pot, will not produce fruit. The farmer cannot expect a harvest if he's planted nothing. And we as Christians cannot grow into the fullness of who God has called us to be unless we are planted. Today, you must be planted. You must be part of the vine. You must sow seeds of faith. You must put your trust in Jesus. See, the truth is simple. We've all sinned. We've all done things that have offended God and others. And today, Jesus offers each of us that opportunity to stop striving in our own strength. Today, Jesus offers each of us the opportunity to have all, yes, all of our sins forgiven, so that you need no longer ever be burdened with them again. Today, Jesus calls you, invites you, asks you to plant seeds of faith, simply asking for his forgiveness, simply committing to live your life with him at the center, and simply putting your trust in him. Imagine, just imagine the potential that lies in that seed. And then imagine the waste when it's never planted. Imagine today that within you there is potential for growth. There's potential for beauty. There's potential for you to bear fruit. So much stored up in a little seed that can lie dormant and never, ever have its potential realized. What a waste. And today you have two options with your seed. You can allow your potential to lie dormant. You can allow the sin and insecurity in your own life to prevent you from accepting Jesus. You waste that seed, waste the potential, waste the fruit, and waste your eternity. Or alternatively, you can trust Jesus. You can plant the seed. You get connected into the vine. And then you become part of the greatest story on earth. You become part of the greatest family on earth. And you begin to realize the potential in your own life that God has planted there. You begin to experience the love of God. You begin to see new purposes grow in your life. You know the peace and the power of God in every area of your life that you'd never known before. You begin to know the security of being rooted in Christ. And you know that as you develop roots and as you grow, that nothing, nothing could ever put that seed back in the packet. Because you've been redeemed. Nothing can drag you back to your old life as it was before, because you're secure in Christ. Old life has gone. The old self has died. And you begin to grow into all that God has created you to be. But the starting point is getting planted. It's getting rooted and established in Christ. It's acknowledging that Jesus alone must be the purpose, the reason, the hope, the center and the desire of your life. And in love, today some of you need to stop playing the game. Some of you need to stop playing the game that comes to church and talks the talk and even looks like you're part of the vine. But you know that you've never taken that step and accepted Jesus. You've never surrendered full control of your life. You've never planted the seed. So you can't play the game of being a Christian. Visiting a garden center doesn't make me a gardener. It makes me feel comfortable. It makes me look around at pretty things and think, I wish I had this. It gives me some hope that one day I might be able to create something better than the reality that is currently my garden. But it doesn't get me there. So please get planted. It's that simple. Get planted. And sow a seed of faith. And then position yourself for growth. One of the jobs I did recently in our garden was moving a tree. Making way for this new playhouse meant that a whole corner of plants had to be ripped out. And the tree that I was moving was a gift from a bride and groom at their wedding 2 years ago. And each time I look at that tree, I'm reminded of them and encouraged to pray for them and their marriage. You'll be glad to know that the tree move was successful. And it is now thriving. But some of the other plants I moved that day didn't survive. See, position is very important when it comes to plants. The correct sunlight, the right soil, the optimum temperature, all essential. Some plants, you proper gardeners will know, need to go in a greenhouse because that gives them position for optimum growth. Some farmers use fertilizer because they want to encourage bigger, stronger, better crops. As a good husband, I occasionally buy my wife some flowers. And that's not meant to be funny, lads, it's true. One, maybe not often enough, I'll take that as a word from you, Gladys. But one of Hannah's favourites are the beautiful pink hydrangeas that are filling the country at the minute. But unfortunately, see, I'm a bit tight. I reckon if you cut them down and stick them in a vase, they're going to die. So better to plant some, and then you can keep looking at them. You get better value for your money. But unfortunately, we can't grow them. The soil type in our garden changes them all to blue. Even when I planted pink ones, over time, the conditions in our soil alter them. The conditions that they find themselves in change them. How true is that for each of us? I wonder would anyone be willing to admit that they alter their behaviour based on who is around? I wonder is anyone willing to suggest that they don't struggle to maintain a life of devotion when they lose their regular rhythm of worship? On our kitchen window live two orchids. One little tiny one, and this one. Now this one only moved there quite recently, okay? And it moved from our living room. This, incidentally, was a gift to Hannah, not from me, okay? Apparently it cost 40 quid. Just for the record, she prefers vouchers. So if you're thinking about it, okay? So this move was not successful. These fragile little flowers fell off one by one. The position, its new position, was all wrong. It couldn't adapt. It was drained of its life. And so this fake one has been added to make it look fairly reasonable. And the reality is that from a distance, some of you can't tell the difference between the real and the fake. Can you? It's because it's top quality. And that's true, isn't it? Sometimes we struggle to tell the difference between the real growth and the fake growth in ourselves and in the people around us. And we do things like this to cover up what's going wrong. We stick a big fake flower on it so that everything looks okay from a distance. But actually, we're dying. Actually, we're losing the battle. Actually, we're sinking into our own insecurity. We're giving up. And I don't know who amongst us could say that sometimes moves drain us of life. Sometimes our circumstances drain us of life. It's your friends, your job, your school, whatever it might be. They require different things from us, and depending who's around, we act differently. We try to adapt to our surroundings, and it doesn't always result in growth. But you know, if we are part of the vine, if we are well grafted into that vine, then the simple truth is we belong to Jesus. Our identity is secured. And no person who has accepted Jesus into their life needs to fear a move. They don't need to fear the crowd. They don't need to fear rejection or loneliness. You're striving to fit in, to be accepted, to lead the crowd is over. Because in Jesus we are complete, we are whole, we're new, we're refreshed, we're forgiven, and we are accepted. Full stop. And many of you will be aware today that these are effectively my final words. Today, we officially, although we will be here next week, I get the sense that people are keener to say goodbye than we are to go, and there's maybe a message there. But today, we officially say goodbye to this parish that has loved and nurtured us. It has cared for us, has prayed for us so faithfully over many years. But it dawned on me this week, you know, that we are not leaving the church. Because when you're rooted in Christ, you can't leave His church. You cannot leave the church. We continue to be His bride. We remain part of His body, part of the true vine that can't be cut off. But we are, however, being replanted. We're being repotted. And sometimes, you know, plants need to change their pots and they need to move because their roots have grown or because the soil isn't of the correct type. And today, I firmly believe that God is calling some of you to be repotted. Some of you are content to live this sort of a Christian life, to allow your roots to go down a little bit and to stay there, to have it contained into what you can manage and what you feel is safe. And God is saying, get out of the pot. I'm not rewriting the get out of the boat bit, but I'm telling you, get out of the pot. Repot yourself. God is saying to some of you, you need to give yourself room to grow. You need to move somewhere so that your roots can grow. You need to get into what I'm calling you to do. And I checked this with Hannah before I said it. I said, it doesn't sound like I'm telling them all to move church. No, that's not what I'm telling you. But what I'm saying is there are circumstances in your life where God might be saying, maximize your growth. And for some of you, that will be a brave decision about the company you keep. For others, it's a courageous career move. Others need to step out into new territory and break new ground and see growth in ways that they had never imagined. But today, make sure that you are doing everything you can so that you are in a position to grow. And finally, look for the proof of the growth. Look for the proof of the growth. Be watchful. John 15:8 tells us that it's the Lord's desire that we bear fruit. It's our purpose. I have appointed you. Why? So that you can go and bear fruit. Not so that we can gather together and sing songs. Not so that we can feel secure in all the storms of life. So that we can go and bear fruit. That's the reason that God has called us. We are not to be passive people. Churches should not be full of seeds of potential. We're to be an orchard full of fruit. Better still, we're to be a vineyard overflowing with a fruitful harvest. I had one recent success in the garden, or at least our Bethany Joy did. She has faithfully tended and watered her little sunflower seed for months. And now she is super proud of her 6-foot plant. Every day for months, we've had an update. We've had to go out and mark the little cane. We've had to check it. We've had to polish the leaves. We've had to make sure everything is just perfect. And just this week, a second flower came out, and the delight and excitement was palpable. But you see, she wanted it to grow. She watched for it growing, and she welcomed the growth when it happened. She used this. I don't know how we got this. I don't know how we ended up with the blue one, okay? Because everything in our house is pink. But somehow we ended up with this little blue watering can. And that sunflower has had gallons and gallons and gallons. Because one watering can full is never enough, is it, when you're 3? But all this week, the kids down at the kids' club have been learning about the fruit of the Spirit. And we, as adults, can't forget that. The fruit that the Christian is expected to bear is an essential part of who we're called to be. See, if my apple trees in the garden didn't give me apples, I would get rid of them. They have a job to do. They have a function to perform. They have a purpose to fulfill. And as Christians, we must demonstrate the evidence of our growth. The love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and that oh-so-difficult self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. The evidence that our life has changed. The evidence that we are growing in Christ. And if you want to grow in Christ, then we need to get serious about it. We need to desire God. We need to thirst for Him in the way that my hanging baskets, which are now dead because I didn't look after them, crave water every evening. Or the way the grass craves the dew every morning. We need to get excited about the potential that lies within each of us as individuals and within this corporate body that we call church. We need to crave growth in our own discipleship. We need to commit to knowing God more. We need to ask Him to reveal more of His Spirit's power in our lives. We need to desire breakthrough in places that we thought were untouchable. The places that we think we have hidden from God. We need to grow in and grow into His love. And so do that. Desire growth. Desire growth. Get to the Bishop's Bible Week next week. go and hear someone teach you the big picture of what Scripture is. Get into a home group and meet regularly week after week with people who want to study the Bible with you and who want to pray with you. Get the prayer meetings and experience the power of what goes on when people pray. Now, today, decide that you're going to prioritize new wine next summer and get to a week of encouragement and enrichment and teaching. Welcome that growth. Want that growth. Desire it in your own life. And then look for it. Look for evidence of the growth. Watch as pattern after pattern of your old self dies away. Watch as you're transformed more and more into the likeness of God. Pray and watch situations in your life change. Plead before God's throne of grace for your situations and watch your faith grow as prayer after prayer is answered, as wall after wall comes tumbling down. Share those signs of encouragement with each other and rejoice in the victories as they happen. And finally, will you welcome the growth when it happens? Will you welcome that growth? A new baby in our house means that we have had to make adjustments and do some things slightly differently. Everything that was sort of routine and sort of organised is now slightly more flexible, we're calling it, and slightly more chaotic. But I encourage you, as a church, will you continue to orientate yourselves toward growth? Will you continue to love the newborns in Christ? And more than that, can we learn to prioritise the newborns in Christ? Yes, prioritise them. To prefer their needs over our own. To nourish, to help, to love. Will you continue to lavish hospitality on strangers? To embrace the broken? Will you help the needy and love the unloved? Will you get excited when you see growth in each other? Will you rejoice as more branches join the vine? Because that means that the kingdom is being extended and the glory of God is in your midst. When I come back to visit, which we might do, I don't want to recognize you. When I come back, I want to be so overwhelmed by the growth in each person that I have to check who you are. I want to hear stories of fruitful harvest here when people are coming and joining the vine, joining the family of Christ. When I come back here to visit you, I want to see fruit in each life that demonstrates a growth and a fruitfulness that is of God. And today, as I close, I want you to decide what you're going to do. My garden, if left untended, will just become a wilderness. And that's not how it's designed to be. So today, you need to choose. I'm going to set these down here. At the end, I want you to choose which one you are. Go to that one and pray for a minute if you want. Get some of the people who are going to come up here and pray with you. Take a seed and put it in a pot if you want to accept Christ. Plant the seed. Say, I want to develop the potential that Christ has put in me. I want to respond for the first time and accept Jesus today. Go to the orchid. Say, I'm done being a fake. I want to position myself for growth. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something to position myself to grow in Christ. I'm taking responsibility. Or finally, go to the watering can. The little tiny kid's watering can. And say, do you know what? I'm going to be faithful to this fellowship. I'm going to want growth in my life and in our life. I'm going to watch for growth. And then most importantly, I'm going to welcome that growth and rejoice as we see it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that picture of you as the gardener and of Jesus as the vine. And Lord, we pray that each of us today would have the faith, the courage, the conviction, Father, of your Spirit to respond to your word. And to know what it is that you require of us so that we, your disciples, would grow in Christ. Help us to know afresh the security of being grafted into the vine. Help us to dream the dreams of releasing potential. Help us to see where we will be replanted, where we can grow. And Lord, give us that spirit that wants to grow, that is watching for growth, and that welcomes and ushers in that growth that you so desire to pour out upon us. In Jesus' name.